Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Single Episode Podcast Series. My name is Emmanuel, and I will be taking you through Afrofuturism and its cinematic power to represent blackness. This episode is brought to you by COM696, Media Industries, and I hope you enjoy what you hear today. This single episode podcast series will explore how Afrofuturism reimagines the social, political, and transnational quality of blackness in Western media platforms. This podcast series hopes to illustrate the multifaceted nature of Afrofuturism as it complicates blackness, black emancipation, and fails to address heterogeneity in media representation of blackness. The study will also present two arguments that while Afrofuturism is a critical voice for black representation in media, it can also fail to understand the nuances already existing in the framework of Afrofuturism, which is black representation, and also how the media exploits black representation. Not understanding these nuances leads to repeated or echoed problems in the media representation of blackness, which can further shape viewers' interaction with blackness across the diaspora. And viewers could be anybody from audiences reading news articles about blackness in media, or just audiences in movies and theaters enjoying black cinema. So let's start with a basic definition of Afrofuturism. Afrofuturism, simply put, is a creative technique that reimagines the social, political, and transnational quality of blackness. It pivots blackness against a grain of history, as it's been told by a specific train of thought or a specific lens, and the lens that Afrofuturism predominantly exists within is often against colonial Western thought. So previously, what Western ideation of blackness has been, Afrofuturism stands to counter that. It exists within the Western ideation of blackness and asks the audience, what does it truly mean to be black? Afrofuturism predominantly exists in conversations with colonial and Western ideation of blackness because that is the genre or the media industry it emerged from. Afrofuturistic media is within any and all creative platforms. You can find it in cinematic depictions. It can also be seen on Instagram and Twitter posts. Something such as Black Twitter is an example of Afrofuturistic media in a way that it is reclaiming Black representation. Afrofuturistic media is essentially how Blackness is displayed across the screen, and how blackness is displayed across mediatized platforms. However, and this is another key point that is a major part of this episode's argument, is that while Afrofuturism is quite empowering, it is not exempt from spaces of blaxploitation. Blaxploitation, as the word sounds like, black and exploitation, functions as a term specifically for the exploitation of blackness in media, a theme very dominant in Western media. So a big example of for futuristic media is Marvel cinematic movie Black Panther, which started as a comic book series intended to champion what it is meant to be black in a Western world. It started as a comic book by two white authors who wanted to show what it was to, you know, have a comic book series that's mainly led by a black character, in Western society. So up until a point, Marvel cinema was mainly white superhero characters who fought against society as like outcasts or outlaws, or just, you know, who represented in symbolic ways ideations dominant in Western society. And so, Black Panther was created in a sense as a counterculture to that. But interestingly enough, Black Panther wasn't just fighting against, ideals like injustices or just the everyday like evil villain. Comic books like Black Panther were facing ideations of previously conceived notions of what it meant to be of African descent. So Black Panther was created as sort of reaction to that mentality. It was essentially, you have this world of Wakanda, that's a civilization of advanced black people who have technology beyond what Western civilization can conceive of. That in itself is an element that places Black Panther as a character within the media industry on a different level. And Posada, who is one of someone who researched on black exploitation in media, points out, however, that even this ideation of blackness that Black Panther as a character or as a cinematic movie represented, you still have a character that exists in a world where he's not just fighting some typical high-end enemy. He is fighting, in that cinematic depiction, he's fighting this misconception of what it means to be a person of color. So before I move on to in depth about just Black Panther and cinema and its representation of blackness, there's a way I want to frame our understanding of blackness as social, political, and transnational, especially when it enters into the media scape or just the media industry scape. Ashanti, in their article, Reimagining African Futures, Wakanda and the Political Transnational Blackness, analyzed Black Panther as an Afrofuturistic film that situates Black Panther from a post-colonial perspective. The authors explored and critiqued nuances of Afrofuturism's function in Western media as complicating what emancipated blackness looked like, and blackness as in a relationship to colonial forces. And here are specific quotes that highlight key arguments in their article about the movie Black Panther and just its situation in Western ideation of blackness. Wakanda is not just a reflection of what an African nation can be, but also a cinematic fantasy construction of how the black world and black consciousness can and do exist outside of the colonizing gaze of whiteness and coloniality. So that argument essentially, situates that Black Panther as a movie isn't just black representation, it is also fighting against the colonial gaze of whiteness. And they also said Coogler, who is the person who the director of the film, presented an Afrofuturistic reimagination of an interconnected past by tapping into mythical memory through the future for the present. And that's exactly how Afrofuturism functions in Black Panther. We're going to take a quick short break from the single episode podcast series talking about Afrofuturism and Black exploitation in media. And what I want to come back to is contextualize more deeply how Black exploitation works, especially in like the media industry, and how an Afrofuturistic piece such as Black Panther isn't exempt from that power of Black exploitation. So, Schiller, who researched just representation and a little bit of representation, but more specifically, how corporation and the production of culture is exploited essentially in media, really gives a good interpretation of Posada's black exploitation in media. So, Schiller's main argument deals with the concept of how corporations are producers of culture, and how they also produce
culture in economically symbolic ways, which is interesting because then culture becomes economic. So culture becomes a product of economic value and no longer becomes of cultural value. And Schiller's main argument is that we need to be wary of the productions that, you know, the producers, the corporations who produce all those things that we consume as consumers in a cultural sense. So for example, when you think of museums that you go into, and you're thinking, oh, like this is a very good depiction of this culture, we often
forget the powers that be in creating, you know, this cultural aspect to the items that have been collected or are now disseminated through a particular Western and media gaze. So there's a particular argument that Warner, in her article, In the Time of Plastic Representation, warns about. And we can kind of read this meaning into Black Panther on the screen, and I'll give several reasons why, but let's delve into Warner's plastic representation. Warner describes plastic representation as a system that reifies Blackness into an empirical system of box checking. It is a mode of representation that offers the feel of progress, but that actually cedes more ground than it gains for audiences of color. She explains that plastic representation is a non-meaningful, inauthentic practice in cinema industry that casts actors without any descriptions, such as their race or nationality. It is a problem that permeates in the media industry despite attempts at progressiveness. And it helps us contextualize problems in Afrofuturistic media and problems in Black Panther specifically. So for example, something that on one hand one can celebrate that Black Panther does really well is this conglomeration of cultures, of tribes on the screen. You see them displayed powerfully on the screen, where you have one character speaking an African language or African dialect to another character of a different African dialect, an African language. And that, in one sense, celebrates diversity, it celebrates beauty in African cultures and reproduce people from the African diaspora. On the other hand, however, it also echoes arguments or just ideations of homogeneity in Blackness, that Blackness is one, sort of this unity that everyone can get along, or just, you know, everyone understands each other from this one set of rules that they can be in the same space together. Yes, we understand the conflict of Killmonger's character, who was a Wakandan, who was of Wakandan descent, and he goes back to Wakanda to reclaim the throne, but he purely grew up American. So we understand his character from that standpoint and that conflict. However, the movie still reemphasizes this idea of Blackness as oneness, in a sense. And that, for me, you know, harkens back to this idea of Warner's plastic representation, you know, the beautiful garments that they wear on screen as a check mark, the different dialects they speak so interchangeably is a check mark, you know, this idea of a barren land that we do see in the first few openings of the movie is a check mark. This idea of a remote Wakandan culture, remote in the sense of its disconnection to the other parts of the world and other parts of the country, is another checkmark in plastic representation. Alternatively, another way of understanding problems in Afrofuturistic media such as Black Panther is what Monk Peyton, an author who wrote Blackness and Television Representation, posits as peak blackness that stems from Hollywood's posturing of certain black characters or figures as epitomes of blackness in Western media. They discuss the real issues that black actors are facing and ask questions like, what if anything does television owe to blackness? You know, so you see the whole situation where someone like Chadwick Boseman's Black Panther is posited as, like, you know, the highest form of, you know, blackness on screen. What does that create for other black actors who are trying to break into roles who that are not traditionally black, in a sense? The more we get successful cinematic depictions of blackness on screen, you know, they argue that it also limits the space and industry for other black actors to perform. Another aspect of black exploitation that's not necessarily framed within the context of Afrofuturism is this exploitation of black trauma in cinema that's predominantly happening in the now more so, it's picking back up in the 21st century. You see a lot of movies about just racial issues that black people are facing in the United States, but it switches lenses onto their suffering and their pain as opposed to just their triumph and exaltation. This, in one sense, as another author argues, fetishizes just black characters and black stereotypes, and does not free them from the corruptness of the industry. So that's it for our single episode today. Thank you for listening. I hope that you've learned ways that Afrofuturism and blaxploitation still exist within Western media and how their interaction pretty much complements each other. You know, Afrofuturism empowers black people, but blaxploitation still comes in and subjugates black representation to some aspects of media industry that's quite negative in its ramification. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.